It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Governor Evers is proposing an overhaul of the corrections system in his state budget blueprint. He wants to turn Waupun Correctional Institution into what's called a vocational village.
This would involve overhauling the 174-year-old prison building and replacing it with new housing and job training facilities where inmates would learn skilled trades like carpentry, automotive mechanics, and welding.
The country's first of its kind vocational village program started next door to us in Ionia, Michigan. Again in 2016. The state's corrections department started the system in part to address a workforce problem around the state.
The model has since been replicated around Michigan and in other states. We recently talked with Heidi Washington, the director of the Michigan Department of Corrections, and asked what got her interested in the vocational village approach.
Well, I've been working in the Department of Corrections for about 26 years, including being a prison warden for many of those years. And I was always aware of the education programs that existed within the department. But when I became director, I really wanted to focus on a much more immersive way to deliver education and skills training. And so really wanted to provide something that not only taught high-skilled, in-demand trades, but also taught individuals what it is to be an employee, what an employer is expecting of you. And so the vocational village was really built around that, around being the first of its kind skilled trades training center inside of a correctional facility that provides a positive learning community for prisoners, but also teaches them what employers expect of them, which is to come to work every day and put in a full day's work. And so those are just some of the, you know, sort of foundational components of what the vocational village was built on.
How do you decide who gets in, who is able to have this opportunity?
The vocational village is an application process. And so we're looking for individuals who are within 18 months to 2 years of their release date, so of going home. We ask them to apply and to really state to us and explain to us why they are ready to make this type of a commitment and what they hope to do with this opportunity if they're selected for the program. We also want to be sure that we are looking at what they have an interest in doing and what they have an aptitude for. And we consider all of that in their admission to the program. So we really want to be sure that we're training them in something that they have a reasonable or realistic likelihood of actually being able to achieve employment in. So Michigan's a very broad, geographically diverse state, I will say. And, you know, we want to be sure that if you're going back to part of our state that doesn't have CNC machining, for instance, that's not the trade we're training you in. So we want to make sure that where you're going and what we train you in, there's an opportunity for you to get a job. And then once you are accepted to the vocational village and we've determined that you meet the criteria, you're the right security level, you don't have a significant misconduct history, then you are transferred to the vocational village where part of the model is that everybody lives together in one housing unit. And so we separate the students in the vocational village from the rest of the individuals living at the prison. So they go to vocational village together, they go to their meals together, they recreate together, and they will remain like that until they are released on parole. And we've found that that is helpful in creating a supportive community within the vocational village.
Wow, you really create then a community that is, working together, progressing together, and it sounds like there are built-in support systems there.
Right. Definitely built-in support systems. They are able to go back to their housing unit after those classes are done and take their materials so that they can study. You know, the programs that we offer, they're very intensive. I would say that they're difficult. They're challenging programs, things like CNC machining, robotics, 3D printing, for example. And a lot of them are math heavy. So there's a lot of studying that has to go into making sure that they can master all of the skills. We also have a very robust college program in the Michigan Department of Corrections. And so we often pair our college students in study halls with our vocational village students in the event that they need extra support in certain areas of study.
And when you track things like recidivism or the return to prison rate and employment rates for people after their release to have gone through the village program, can you share some of the outcomes?
Sure. We do have some preliminary data. We've looked at the success of individuals overall in the Department of Corrections, in other words, the recidivism rate, compared to the success of those who have gone through the vocational village and completed the program and then been released. And what we have found is that the success for vocational villagers is roughly double what the success of non-vocational villagers, or I guess to put it conversely, the recidivism rate is cut in half. So recidivism overall in the state of Michigan is around 22%. And the data that we have looked at tracking the vocational villagers found that the recidivism rate of those individuals was about 12%. So it's a significant difference, meaning that these programs do make a difference. They give people the necessary skills to be able to go out and find a job and keep a job. So we're very proud of that. And employment rate would be similar. We track overall employment, and then we also track specifically for those who have completed these programs. And overall, those who have completed the vocational village have about a 65% employment rate on average. And so we're pretty happy with that number. We're, of course, always striving to get it even higher.
I'm curious about your partnerships with the private sector here. How have companies worked with the vocational village? What is their contribution to this?
First of all, without employer partners, we wouldn't be where we are. So it's obviously very necessary that we are constantly developing new relationships with potential employers, because once we've trained these men and women, we want to be sure that they have a job to go to. So we have actually brought on what we call job developers in our department. And these are individuals who are working exclusively with recruiting new employers and then, you know, working with the employers we have to set up interviews, to introduce the students, to make sure that employers know every month who's coming up for parole and what credentials they have. So, you know, we're working with about 750 employers statewide, and we have a regular email blast that goes out to them that's introducing them to the individuals who are seeking work. And it's been just phenomenal to have so many great employers that see the value of this program. And it really has been a benefit for them because they have large demands to hire skilled people, and we have the ability to be responsive to that and to train them specifically for what employers need.
Here in Wisconsin, Governor Tony Evers is proposing a vocational village for our state, and I'm wondering, what should Wisconsin be prepared for if this goes through?
Prepare for creating a program that's transformational both inside your correctional facilities and outside. And, you know, in addition to obviously impacting the lives of the individuals who are going through the program, it also has the ability to impact the culture of the facility where it's housed. We know from operating three vocational villages now that the individuals who are in this program, they're engaged, they're hopeful, they're optimistic, they are working very hard in a positive pro-social way towards their future, and they are not engaged in trouble. We don't really have any issues within the vocational villages in terms of assaults, misconducts, those types of things. So it's creating a safer environment inside prison. And then it is, you know, creating the opportunity for employers in our state to fill open positions with very talented, skilled individuals. And then most importantly, above all, it is helping people to not return to a life of crime and not to be creating additional victims. And, you know, that's what we're really after. When we can do that, that's when we really achieve long-term public safety for the taxpayers and the residents of our state. And hopefully we can even break the cycle of intergenerational criminal behavior and stop the next generation from coming.
Director Heidi Washington, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
That is Michigan Department of Corrections Director Heidi Washington, who opened the nation's first-of-its-kind vocational village program in 2016. Now we turn to a former participant of the program. Marcos Fernandez is president of Ideal Welding Solutions in Hudsonville, Michigan, and graduated from a vocational village in 2018. Marcos, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You had been in and out of prison, serving around 13 years in all, and you described getting out was like being hit by a brick wall. How were you able to make that brick wall disappear, and what happened?
Having a skilled trade, you know, prior to having a skilled trade and welding, every time I got out, it was difficult to find jobs. For one, is because of the criminal record. For two, not really having no job history. So by being able to, you know, receive the skilled trade, you know what I mean, and actually the MDOC helping me, the vocational village, getting me a job prior to me getting out, gave me a head start.
What do you love about welding?
Welding and fabricating is completely different. It helps you be more creative. You know, you got to have a creative mind to be a true fabricator. You know, I always tell these guys, anybody can weld a bead, but only a true fabricator can understand and problem solve on how to make sure the differences, understand the differences of the metal, what the heat does to it, you know, what it doesn't.
And you graduated from the Village program in 2018. What were the initial steps when you got out of the program?
When I got out of the program, once I graduated and prior to me being released, they already contacted employers and they had employers come in and do like tours. So I knew I had a job getting out. So once I got out, same day I got out, I went and did a well test with this company and I passed the well test and I started that following Monday. Mm.
You didn't have to explain to that company anything, I would imagine, about your background. You just had to demonstrate your skills. You had to demonstrate your proficiency in welding. What impact did that have on you?
Well, it helped out a lot because prior to that, it's like you always have to put down all your whole criminal record. You have to put down everything that you've been in there. Then you got to explain that. The impact is like it gives you more confidence because now they're just looking at you for your skills rather than what you did wrong in the past, the mistakes you made.
Fast forward to today, you're a business owner. Can you tell us about the success of your welding business?
Well, yeah. Well, my welding business, you know, I stopped working at the last company. I just thought to myself, like, I got to start my own company. I got to take my future in my own hands. And it was a struggle. You know, I sold my house. I went all in with my company and believing in myself. And my first year, I think, I didn't do much. I did like zero in sales. It was just getting everything going because it was difficult to even get a location. My second year after I built the company out, I was able to do 25,000 sales. In my third year, I did 225,000 in sales. Mm. So I jumped up a lot. And by doing that, I was able to purchase another company. So now with my new company, we're doing between $75,000 to $100,000 in sales a month. So it's completely different.
Did you know you were a business entrepreneur? Did you know you had this in you?
I always knew I wanted to start a business, but I never knew what business to start. It was until like I found out that I really had a niche in fabricating. Don't let me mislead anybody. It's been a struggle. But by learning and just keeping on going, just getting up every day and keeping the fight alive is what I look at. It's all about the grind. Mm-hmm. Get up every day. Continue moving. You learn every day. This business is never ending.
I understand you hired a person who's gone on through the vocational village program. How did that feel?
It felt really great to give an opportunity back to somebody that went through the same thing. And even with him, like he went from, you know, he worked with Ideal, my first company. And then I am hiring him through my second company. And even with him, it helped him a lot because now he can relate to somebody that's been through what he's been through. You know, he's very, they're really appreciative. You see the workforce out here is completely different. You know what I mean? You got, you know, I mean, some people that never went through that struggle and some people that have. And with him, he's like very appreciative, and I just try to guide him the best I can.
You referred to that struggle, and my mind immediately went to someone who is justice involved or who has a background as an inmate. When those conversations come up with your employees, perhaps, how do you handle them?
Straightforward. Everybody knows I got a background. Everybody knows, you know what I mean? And we just try to work through it. We try to work through the problem, you know? And, you know, even being an inmate, and like I went back to the MDLC and I spoke to the guys there, you know what I mean? And I just let them know, like, I've been where you've been at. I know what the struggle is. And at the same time, that everything can be better. You know, if you use your skills to what you need to do, you know what I mean? You're going to be okay.
Well, seeing is believing. You have growing businesses. They can't deny that. You can't deny that. How does it feel to be a motivational speaker to them?
I just thought to myself, as long as, you know, I mean, if I can reach out to one person, and I think that would be great. You know, when you're speaking, you can see the facial expressions to the people. So some people, like even in the beginning, some people were like, yeah, whatever, like who knows, who's this guy? But at that point, this one guy that I was actually incarcerated with, he stood up and he was like, I know a lot of you probably don't believe, but I sat right here on the bench with him and he explained to me exactly what he was going to go do. He was like, the business model changed because I was looking at that point as a mobile welding company. He was like, but the business model changed to him doing fabricating and machining. He was like, but his dream was still the same. He was like, so I can actually say, like, I was here with him, and me actually seeing guys I was locked up with and coming back to see them again. It was, you know, I mean, it was a wonderful feeling that actually to speak to them and just let them know, like, look, if I can do it, anybody can do it.
Marcos, thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Marcos Fernandez is president of Ideal Welding Solutions. It's a metal fabricator in Hudsonville, Michigan. He graduated from a Michigan Vocational Village program in 2018. And earlier, we spoke with the director of the Michigan Department of Corrections, Heidi Washington, who opened the nation's first-of-its-kind vocational village program in Ionia, Michigan in 2016. Governor Tony Evers is proposing a vocational village model for the Waupun prison. That is part of an overhaul of the prison system in his new two-year budget proposal. The program in Waupun would focus on expanding job training.